Hey everybody, it's Brad Williams and Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by White Cloud e-cigarettes.
We're not saying you should start smoking, but if you already do, awesome. And if you've ever wanted to try an e-cigarette, these are the ones to go with. White Cloud e-cigarettes offers over 20 flavors. That's almost as many as Baskin-Robbins. 20 flavors and 6 nicotine strengths. It's cheaper than other e-cigarettes that you'll see at convenience stores and with much more variety. White Cloud e-cigarettes sponsors comedians. They've been doing it for over 2 years now. They've also sponsored comedy festivals like the Boston Comedy Festival and the Orlando Indie Comedy Festival. If you've ever been curious about trying an e-cigarette, I have. Well, the Fling is the low-cost, no-commitment way to do so. And the Fling offers same-day UPS shipping on orders before 6 p.m. Eastern.
But is there a website?
Customers can go to WCESigs.com. That's WCESigs.com.
But we want to make sure our listeners get them for cheap. So is there a coupon code?
To get 25% off of the order, use the coupon code ALNPODCAST. That's ALNPODCAST at WCESigs.com to get your White Cloud e-cigarettes today. And now, enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for subscribing on iTunes and listening to the podcast. The support has been just incredible lately. You guys, a lot of Twitter action, a lot of emails, getting pictures of people wearing ABL and shirts. Really appreciate that. Keep listening on iTunes or aboutlastnightpodcast.com. Of course, you can get it on Stitcher or on any sort of podcast app on your phone, iPhone or Android. But the support's been incredible. You guys keep listening. We're going to keep pumping out these episodes. Some of the guests we got lined up, I can't totally say. We've mentioned some on the podcast past episodes, but there's a few that I'm lining up right now that are fucking incredible. So thank you for listening. Today's episode is just, God, some of these episodes we just laugh a lot. And this is another one of those. Our guest is Roy Wood Jr., one of the stars of TBS's hit sitcom Sullivan and Sons. He's been on Conan, Letterman, Ferguson, Jimmy Fallon. He's been on every late night show. He's one of the funniest comics in the game. And he's one of those guys, too, that, you know, has gotten his opportunities and his credit, but it ain't enough, man. He's literally one of the funniest comics out there. And all the comics know it, and Hollywood needs to get their shit together and take more notice and give this motherfucker his own show. You'll hear this episode and be like, wow, how am I running a podcast with that sort of sentence structure? You'll be like, why isn't Roy, spearheading his own show? And he will be soon, because that's just what happens, man. You stay with it, and it happens eventually. Roy's got great stories of growing up in Birmingham, Alabama, doing morning radio. How he was hired to do prank calls on the radio station at 7 a.m., which is great because then we'd close the podcast with another hilarious prank call to the Thai restaurant that I order from. And this one might top the Aerie Spears prank call. This one was the Aerie Spears as DMX prank calling was incredible, but holy shit, what Roy does and gets this guy, gets the manager of this Thai restaurant so fired up. You got to listen to it. And of course, Roy's day jobs that he held in Alabama, working at the arcade, working at a Cracker Barrel. Some of the funniest shit I've ever heard. And Brad and Roy and I, again, a lot of laughs all the way through. Follow Roy on Twitter at Roy Wood Jr. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Brad is headlining his home club this weekend, March 5th through the 7th, the Brea Improv, Fullerton, California. Go out and see him. Get your tickets at improv.com. Always a killer show. It's his hometown, man. Go see him. Support the podcast. Tell him you love the podcast after the show, before the show, during the show. Fucking while he's giving somebody a lap dance, just whisper in his ear, I love the podcast. And be like, thank you, sir. Why do you have such a high-pitched voice? Go out and see Brad March 5th through the 7th. Again, tickets at improv.com. Adam Devine and I still on tour, still rocking it. Shows have been incredible. It's a dream to be on this tour. Adam and I are great buds, and to get to kick it this long is a real treat. It's a real treat. And then to have the shows be as incredible as they are is a cherry on top. God, where are we coming up? Well, we've been to Boston, we've been to DC, we've been to Orlando, and now, yeah, we just did Boulder, Colorado. That was fucking bananas. Legal weed. Vancouver, BC. March 3rd, baby. March 3rd. That's tomorrow. Vancouver. The Commodore Ballroom in Vancouver, BC. Get your tickets. Ticketmaster.com. And then March 4th, maybe my favorite date on this tour. We're going to be at the Neptune Theater in Seattle, Washington. My hometown, the Neptune Theater, used to be a movie theater, and I saw the Blair Witch Project there when I was in high school. And now I'm about to do stand-up on that same stage. Really pumped up. And then March 5th, we're at the Aladdin Theater in Portland, Oregon for two shows. March 6th in Anaheim, California at the House of Blues. Right near downtown Disney. And then we end the tour in San Diego at the House of Blues on March 7th. So get all your tickets at Ticketmaster.com or Google Adam Devine Stand-Up Tour and come see us. And, of course, get your merchandise at EstoyMerchandise.com. E-S-T-O-Y Merchandise.com has all your ABLN merch needs, shirts. We've got, as I told you, hats and some new shirt designs coming. Hang with us. It's just taking a little longer because we want to make it perfect. But buy your shirts. Buy your shirts. Get them in advance for Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa. We also got 4th of July coming up. You know, buy them for your loved ones. Buy them for your kids. Put them on your fucking dog or your cat, your friend's cat. You know, support the pod. That's how you can do it. You can listen to it and subscribe and tell your friends, and we want you to do that. But also, get some shirts, man. They're comfy as shit. I'm wearing one right now, and that's all I'm wearing. That's all the merch info. Those are the Twitter handles. Those are the tour dates. Now, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy a hilarious episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Roy Wood Jr.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Not telling me. There we go. I'm good now.
There you go.
Good in the hood.
Is that your catchphrase? Do you have a catchphrase? I've never known.
Fucking Larry the Cable Guy.
I never
save that for the. Yeah. Save that for when we're rolling.
Okay, well, we're going. Yeah, we're going, man.
Oh, we're
going,
man.
We just get into it. Shit. There's no fancy intro.
I didn't know we were talking about last night.
Hilarious. You used to listen to us in the back of the day, dude. We used to start off like that.
I know, man.
Oh, exactly. It was, and then we realized that was fucking stupid.
Yeah, well, because like we didn't know how to do it, and I always thought like, well, it's kind of like a radio show, so you have to start off doing the radio thing and welcome to the About Last Night podcast, Roy Wood Jr. But no, it's just because then you're forced to start rather than just getting
into
there's
it organically. No rules to podcast, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's not it's like also you have some program director coming in.
No, well, we do. He's just in. He's on vacay.
Yeah,
I'd never had a catchphrase. The funny thing is, my first year of stand up, I spent a good 2 weeks trying to come up with one.
That's why I asked, man. I just feel like it's...
But you gotta remember though, man, I started down south, so it was like the southern. This is 98, so it was like that southern Def Jam boom. And
in where?
Birmingham. I split time between Tallahassee and Birmingham. I was in college in Tallahassee, but all the open mic, all that shit was Birmingham and Atlanta. So the Atlanta comedy boom was starting, the southern rap scene, so being black was this good super duper thing. And at the time, there was a guy who had hamburger.
Hamburger. Oh, God. That's literally his catchphrase. His name is Hamburger. He tells a joke. The joke does okay. But then he says, hamburger.
Applause break.
Just like buttoning the joke.
When you see a girl with a big booty, you just say, hamburger. Applause break.
What? It was nuts.
It was crazy. He was a Def Jam vet.
How popular were hamburgers at that time?
Well, I mean, there's that guy. Then there's Chucky Ducky.
Chucky Ducky Quack Quack.
Yeah. That's his catchphrase. He tells a joke. It was Chucky Ducky Quack Quack.
Demolish.
Oh, my God.
Destroys.
And then there was
him. So if I was like the choo-choo train conductor, right? And that was my thing. And like every time after a joke, I was like, ladies, you know, because I would have to talk like a black comic, even though I'd be white, because I'd be in the South. And I'd be like,
sure.
Yo, fellas, you know when you get that girl with that big-ass stanky butt? You know when she's got the stanky butt?
choo-choo. And the people would go fucking nuts, yeah?
Applause break. Three people in the aisle having a heart attack.
I was born in the wrong time period.
Because you're white, so it like doubles the amazement. That white boy, man, that white boy. Yeah, man, he's crazy. There was another guy out of Atlanta named Jamario. Jamario, Jamario.
Oh, my gosh.
Good, that's the other thing. If you have a double name.
I was going to say, yeah. I love the double name.
Yeah. So Bruce is the only one that I think ascended out of the double name comics. But Jamario's thing was, y'all don't know nothing about no Jamario. You laugh, but the shit was hilarious. Oh. He would get on stage, ladies, I don't know what y'all think y'all doing, expecting a brother to pay for the meal every time. You don't know nothing about no Jamario.
Destruction.
So, yeah, and this is just the premise. This is just the setup. He hasn't even gotten to the punchline.
Oh, my God. One of my first like actual paying gigs in comedy was I got to be the house MC at B.B. King's restaurant. And it was like I would introduce the bands. This was here in Hollywood. And it was me and there was this other comic. It was a black comic. I don't know his name. And his opening line was, well, Saturday, tomorrow's Sunday. You know what that means. We all got to go to church. Destruction. Just destruction.
So he's just...
That's a statement.
I know. As a young comic, I'm like, wait, what? That's all you have to do? So I can go on stage and be like, well, today's Saturday, tomorrow's Sunday. White folk go Disneyland. And like, that's just going to... That's just going to kill.
But how would he open his show on a Wednesday? What would he say?
Well, today's Wednesday.
Tomorrow's Thursday. After that's Friday. Thank God for the weekend.
It would just be the craziest shit.
Fuck. Man, I tried to come up with... The best I could come up with was... You guys are going to laugh. This is so goddamn god-awful. Jokes from year one.
Hey, it's jokes from year one. It's all right.
Because that's the type of asshole I am.
Yeah.
That was going to be my catchphrase. I had a fucking t-shirt.
Wait, that's the kind of asshole I am?
That's the kind of asshole I am.
Oh,
and
man.
So I would start each bit over the... And I was only featuring. So I only got to cover 25 minutes. So
sure.
I would start the topic. I would start the joke with... You know, you know, I see people with duct tape plastic on your windows. When you go in the store, I rip that shit off. Because that's the type of asshole I am. Why you got... And then I would go into the joke.
Yeah.
So that was my, y'all don't know nothing about no Jamario. Yeah. It was fucking horrible.
Nobody was on board.
Oh, God. And I had fucking 40
t-shirts, man,
that I ordered from Tom Haynes Stand-Up Stuff in Charlotte, North Carolina. First run, 40 shirts. Three color, one sided.
Oh, man.
$4.50 a shirt, and I was stuck with those bitches. And
you still got them?
I have one left. I kept one.
Just to be like, just remember, whenever I think, like, you know what? I should make a catchphrase. Oh, wait.
Yeah, literally.
Just to remind you.
My mom uses it to, like, wash towels, clean the house. It's just like a freaking house shirt.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that, and then on top of all that, shortly after that, you have Foxworthy's Redneck and...
Oh, that was already going on at that time. And Cable Guy was already starting to roll into...
Gator Dunn, Here's Your Sign.
Yeah, Billy
All
Ball.
That.
Dude, I was like, I'm a Southern guy.
You got to have a catchphrase.
I need a catchphrase. Yeah,
that's
asshole.
Just kind of asshole I am.
Kind of asshole I am. But I'm 20, and I'm wearing a suit on stage. I look like Steve Harvey Jr. Like, no one's buying that I'm an asshole.
Right. Yeah, it's like you're 20. You don't know what that is yet.
Now, what's comedy like in Birmingham? And like, what are you? What's around you that starts to create the I don't know, the comedy vibes in you? Or were you just always funny?
Well, it's kind of funny, but I didn't think about stand up till Comedy Central came on the air.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Like my dad had like the albums, you know, all the you name any dirty
Red,
black
album. Red Fox, yeah, Pryor, all those guys,
of it, all on vinyl. So I sneak and listen to that. But
you don't know
like,
it's a career possibility. You think it's a hobby or you just... I like comedy.
I just thought it was some other level shit. Like, it's like magician. Like, it's just some shit you see people do.
Like, where do you go to find out how to make a car disappear?
This is like David Copperfield. He's fucking disappearing space shuttles and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that's dope. I don't know. He must be the only one.
That's how I felt about Slurpees. I was like, this blows my mind. I don't know how they get all these flavors in this machine side by side.
Slurpee machine at your house.
Yeah, I do. I still do. When I make my first million, you laugh, but I'm getting shuffleboard table, Papa Shot basketball machine, and a Slurpee machine.
I'm getting a jet ski, and I'm getting a batting cage with a jugs machine that throws breaking balls.
Wow.
Roy Wood.
Like, you know.
Already,
you know.
It's already in my head.
Now, will you have like a cutout of like, you know, I don't know, fucking Brett Saberhagen or whoever you looked up
yeah,
to as a kid?
Picture, and it comes out the hole where the pitcher's hand is.
Yes.
Fuck it. Why not?
Why not?
Do it. I don't know. I might do like some hologram where it's a motion.
We'll be there.
It looks like it's throwing it or whatever.
We'll be there.
Oh, my God.
When I started, I mean, even now, there's still only one regular comedy club in the state of Alabama. So I never understood. Yeah, I never understood the concept of stand-up. So it wasn't until I started seeing Comedy Central, and I go, oh, there's people other than Eddie Murphy and Sinbad? I thought
other than people doing stadiums,
I thought these were the two gentlemen and some Bill Cosby fellow, but I thought that was just a one-off thing. And I see these motherfuckers on TV doing this shit, and I was like, all right, I could do that. But I just never got the guts till I got to college. You know, you get to college, that's a whole nother world, and you get to be a different person and all of that shit. And so that's when I started doing it. So I would take the bus back to Birmingham to sneak and do open mic, and then because I didn't want to bomb locally.
Right.
Face motherfucker.
Yeah.
Good for you to have that.
People might know you from there.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go home and nobody will believe you when you tell them I was here because I'll say I was at college, man. And I go to Atlanta because, you know, in those days, open mic in the South was only once a month. I mean, most cities, there was not weekly open mics. Atlanta was probably the only place, but it was a lottery system at the White Club. So there was no guarantee after an 8-hour Greyhound ride that you were going to fucking get on stage. Wow. So I kind of had to like call them with sob stories and shit. And I'm coming. I'm on the bus. The lottery is sign up is at 5. The show is at 8. I understand. But I'm on the bus.
Can you just start writing my name down? I'll finish it when I get there.
Right.
Yo, when I used to sign the list in Atlanta for them to put your name in the hat on my for my name, I write Roy Wood Jr. on rode a bus. Just like fucking have mercy on my soul.
Work for Rosa Parks. Why not?
Nice. Good call. Happy Black History Month, everybody.
Yeah. Nah, I wasn't funny, man. I wasn't a class clown. I cracked jokes here and there. The only time I was funny was when I played baseball. Because you were away from the school, I wrote the bench. It's a lot of time to think of shit. Like,
a lot of time.
High
school
sports, man. Yo, you want to talk about some fucking bullying? The shit you yell across the field at an opponent. There ain't shit that's happening in a school that's half as bad. It's what's being. I can only imagine what kids are saying to each other on a football field in the middle of a 12-man scrum.
Oh, I'll tell you. Crazy shit, dude. Oh, yeah, and I play basketball, dude, and I got some of the shit I got heckled by in some of these opposing schools. I didn't even know it was possible to say to another person.
Oh, it's insane.
And that was the parents.
For sure, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, so I was in charge of, like, the heckle crew. So it was our job. You know, I took pride in it, too.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to play every game.
If you're on the bench, that you go, hey, Roy, you gotta psych out the other team. That's your job.
Legit, those are the first laughs I got was... Wow. Yelling from the dugout while an opponent is batting and looking out in right field and seeing Maxwell Hawkins on one knee laughing between pitches. Like, that was my audience, was my teammates.
Because he's not supposed to be down on one knee.
Of course not.
And if you did that, you know that you're having an impact.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're rattling the other guy. I mean, we're calling him way past fat boy. At the time...
Yeah, you got to get clever in high school.
At the time, the movie A League of Their Own was out, and so Rosie O'Donnell was all... And that was just fucking... fat white dude. It went to Pinson Valley. And we called this dude Rosie O'Donnell. Every time he came,
so
fucking
firing scoosh balls at him, like from the talk show.
Scoosh balls.
Yeah, coosh balls. Coosh balls. Yeah. Sorry, scoosh balls. That sounds like something you say when you come.
And they used to get us back. I mean, they'll call you nigger and try and step on your ankle. I mean, we didn't really get mad about it because it's like, I've antagonized you for 5 straight innings.
Yeah. I've called you Rosie O'Donnell for 3 hours.
Yeah, so when I'll trade off this... aggressive tag to the face. You could have tagged my leg, which is 3 feet in front of me, to me out, but you pimp slapped me with the baseball glove.
You're like, I probably deserve that.
It's like, all right, this fuck nigga. I'm like,
all right, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
I can't be mad,
mama. And this is before Google. Could you imagine, man, if you were in high school now and you could Facebook an opponent before going
right.
to the game?
You
That's got to be happening, right?
You can look stuff up. You could look up their girlfriend's name. You could look up pictures
of
their girlfriend.
You can post photos. Doctor Photoshop pictures of their girls from Instagram.
Dude.
To show, like, the whole team.
I would be next level bench warming heckling. If I played high school athletics now, I would get banned. Like, it would legitimately, it would start on Facebook the night before. I'd create some phantom account. Yo, dude, you fucking my girl. Like,
create a phantom account. Yeah. That's how you get inside their head.
Dude, I would just.
And then you start bringing that shit up in the post, you know, if you're playing ball, just being like, yo, I saw that, I saw those comments on your girl's page about her saggy titties.
Yeah, what's happening there?
I've heard fans do that to
Duke will do stuff like that all the time. Like the what's it called, the camera crazies.
Yeah,
there's stories. There was a story.
I thought you were gonna say Mike Krzyzewski is known for posting anti-Semitic shit. On
everyone knows Krzyzewski's a troll. Everyone knows that. But like they did something, and I'll look it up in a second. But they did something where they created a fake account of like a hot chick. And then, the hot chick was essentially catfishing one of the players on the other team and saying, like, hey, come hang out, come meet me, I'll suck your dick, I'll do blah, blah, blah. And, sending him pictures. And then he showed up, and, like, no one was there. And then they started chanting the girl's name, like, from the crowd, so he knew they were catfishing. Like, that's some next level shit.
Diabolical.
Right. How do you play when that's happening?
You're way past TPN a statue.
it's just gone to a whole nother level. Like now, like, yeah, sure, technology's great for whatever, but like now it's gotten to the point where you literally have to have a conversation. If you got like 11, 12 year old daughter, son, you gotta have that conversation, like, hey, don't send pictures of your junk to anyone else in the school.
Please don't.
Yeah, you have to say that.
I'm surprised that's not something that's been highlighted or profiled on any sort of real sports. Or maybe it has been. Just that type of, like, you know, trash talking that's, like, on, you know, online now. Like,
next level.
Next level shit, man. Because, like, that's
the abuse.
That's got to factor into that's almost more, does more damage than just the verbal
players
stuff.
Players talk that shit. No, you know, it doesn't affect me. The fans going to say whatever they want.
And fuck that. Really? They read everything, don't they?
They know.
They know. They have
to.
That's why it's called bulletin board material.
You don't think Sam Cassell, you know, didn't know that people were saying Marvin the Martian or whatever the fuck they were saying about him?
Winner won two back-to-back championships on you bitches. He was like, I'll show you motherfuckers.
You're right. Yeah.
It'll be ugly. He used it. He didn't let it affect him. You know, some guys try to turn it into motivation, but.
Sure. Well, yeah, just Google Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech for that. Good
what
Lord.
A prick, dude.
For real?
Dude, what a fucking magnanimous prick.
Have you seen Jordan's Hall of Fame speech?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't at the end he was like, I'm the best, fuck Bill Cartwright, peace, or something? No.
At the end, try the whole speech. The guy that brought him out, the guy that introduces him, like.
He could pick anyone from his life to be the person to introduce him.
He could pick Pippen. He could pick Horace Grant. He could pick Phil Jackson. He could pick
Bugs Bunny.
Dean Smith, Bugs Bunny from the Monstars. Sure.
Wayne Knight, his agent from Space Jam.
And who does he pick? He picks, was it the guy?
The guy that made the team over him when he got cut in high school.
In high school? What?
Then this motherfucker's the dummy to agree to do it.
Well, what was he doing? This could have been a great moment.
Regular job shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
just some dude working and
selling pencils.
Kids.
Yeah.
Now, did he make did Jordan write the speech for him to say too? Like when he brings him out?
I don't know.
This is the greatest man.
I'm the guy who made the team over Michael.
And look at me now.
Look at me now and look at him. It's amazing.
Is that what he said?
I don't know.
Something to that note.
But it's something.
It's not his fault, motherfucker. The coach is the one who cut you.
Right.
Go get the coach.
Oh, he did? Oh, does it
make the coach bring you up? You
know, that's fucked up.
No, I have so many issues with that dude. It just extends beyond fucking basketball.
With Jordan?
Yeah, like, for the amount of children, and I'm probably talking out the side of my mouth because I'm not informed enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue anyone that Michael Jordan, the sneaker, has killed more black people. Than Michael Jordan, the person, inspire. If not.
Holy shit.
It's neck and neck.
I am not smart enough to come back with that intelligently.
Every kid that watched Michael Jordan dunk, it was like, yeah, I'm going to be like Jordan. Mama, go buy me the sneakers. Pop, 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 pop. Oh. Dad, how'd that work out for you? You should have been like Barkley.
No, should have been an I want to be like Stockton commercial.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say a fucking word about it.
Wow.
Your name is on this product. I understand it's big money and it got to be collectors. Well, then you change how the shoes are released or you change how people get access to
do
them.
Do what Stephon Marbury did when he had all the sneakers for $5. 12 bucks or whatever the hell it was.
Or you just make them available all the time, bitch. But you can't do that not because the then edition. They aren't valuable at $200, $300. You can't. It's not your fault that somebody's going to get shot 2 months from now. Yeah. But if you're fucking, have you ever been to a Jordan release? I've only in my life only owned one pair of Jordans.
It's like going to an Oprah taping.
Dude, it's literally like Black Friday, but there's only one store having the special.
Oh, God, that's not good.
That's the only way I can describe it. And you're in front of a line. There was a bunch of kids in Birmingham who got robbed one morning waiting out in front of it's like 20 kids in front of a Foot Locker in the hood, like one of those strip mall next to a Radio Shack, just open air Foot Locker.
Yeah.
Niggas rolled up and just like three dudes with guns. Yeah, we know you all have cash because you're here to buy $300 sneakers. Wallets, please.
Wow.
Robbed the whole line.
Wow. Because they knew.
Can't point the finger at Jordan directly, but if I had a product that my name was attached to, that people are
that
fucking
caused all that.
You gotta say, just say something. Just fucking say.
Come out and say, "Hey guys,
sorry niggas, but buy my shoe though." And it's not so much
like instead. So like when George Bush came out on the aircraft carrier and had mission accomplished as a sign behind him, he's got a sign that says, "Well, I can't say that, but sorry, N words." behind
Yo, man.
Him,
he built part of his fortune. Oh, on some shit that ain't good for the community he claims to represent. And I have a problem with that.
Wow.
And maybe if I don't really have a joke for it, but
you kidding me? You don't need one.
You know, I don't give a fuck how many rings you got, dude. Mm-hmm. It's how many lives have you changed? How many people have you affected? And like to that regard, nobody will hold Jordan accountable, and I can't because, you know, all I've done is be on a TBS sitcom. So I don't have the fucking leverage.
That ran for three seasons.
Well,
give yourself some credit.
Yeah, you know, 2.2 cumulative every week.
Yeah, but you said you had some, like, best hardest worker trophies from a kid, so don't knock all your rings.
Well, you know what, man? Mike Vandiver Hustle Award, 1995, Ramsey High School.
never
that's
forget.
That's your motivation.
Ramsey Baseball. That, and I got second place statewide social studies fair.
No shit.
How you love that shit.
What's up?
Some study on homeless people. I don't remember what it was.
So you can tell us about the Louisiana Purchase or some shit like that?
No, I wasn't that smart, dude.
Oh, okay.
I barely graduated high school. That's the thing.
No kidding?
Dude, I had a 2.2. And I was technically in the gifted program until my junior year. But the problem is that my dad was a fucking dick. So he didn't work on, like, the way my dad would have arguments with my mom, he would go, "All right, well, since you're going to bring up that," you know, my dad's cheating all this shit. I got two younger half brothers and shit.
Me too.
Create tension in the house.
Yeah.
And my dad's big get to fucking win an argument is to just not pay a bill. So, you know, "All right, well, bitch, since you're going to bring that up, goddammit, ain't paying the gas bill."
What?
For how long?
Nigga wouldn't pay the gas bill for like 2 months.
Shit.
So
to win an argument?
To prove a point that you don't talk to me like that. I'm the man of the house.
Oh, my God.
Now, in terms of an anti-domestic violence strategy.
Yeah. For sure.
It's pretty good.
It's great.
I got to tip my
it's
hat
great.
To Pops.
You have to tip
I mean,
that.
You know, when you consider the alternative.
Well, considering that my mom was in law school, I know you can't withdraw. And I know the money you make every day over at UAB and Miles College is not enough to cover what I refuse to pay. So freeze. So once I got old enough to work, like around 14, I got a job at Baskin Robbins pretending to be 15. From that point on, I would make money and bring money home. So you find a decent employer that doesn't give a fuck about child labor laws, and you could work till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night on a school night. So your fucking grades go to shit, but you're not freezing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you look at priorities.
Yeah. So which is why my mom has always kind of given me a pass at least out of high school, mm-hmm. on my grades not being pristine. I didn't have time, but I had a fucking killer
ACT,
like, you know?
Yeah. Sure.
It's like, smash that standardized to offset that weak GPA. That's how you get that college accepted.
I would love to have guys, like, instead of, like, trash talking in terms of how hard they are, say the kind of stuff that you just said. Like, yeah, man, smash that ACT, motherfucker.
Yeah, bitch. Rush that shit real quick.
Yo, man, my analogies was on point.
By the way, the line you said, I got a job at Baskin Robbins when I was 14, pretending I was 15, sounds like an Ice Cube lyric. Like, I want to hear that with a beat behind it.
You know what's funny, man? I got that job, and I thought I was the coolest motherfucker.
You were, no pun intended.
No.
You were.
Well, no, the coolest job, the two jobs you wanted to have, mm-hmm. at least in Birmingham at the time, you wanted to work at a shoe store.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sell sneakers.
Now, why?
Well, because that's where all the chicks came in.
Okay, yeah.
And that's
sure.
where, like, it's a social who's who of yep. Birmingham, because anybody who's fashionable got to show up to get sneakers. You get to dress all the fashionable people. So when
right.
you see them out at the clubs and at the teen parties, they see and they speak. So you're cool. You're in the,
right,
in, you're
right,
in the cool
right.
kid crowd.
That, and they want discounts and good deals
exactly.
on their sneakers.
You hook them up, couple
they
extra socks,
you.
Shit like that. And the other job you wanted, this is going to sound so fucking stupid, but video arcade. If you were the guy in charge of the tokens.
Oh, dude, that doesn't sound
video arcade.
I mean, because people don't realize, like, that kids don't realize coming up now what these video arcades were. I remember going to the arcade for 3 hours, and that was the greatest 3 hours of my week.
Dude, oh, yeah.
I beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes!
What?
I beat it on $1.25.
What? You're a legend, Roy
Five
Jr.
quarters.
Yeah, why aren't you opening that when
five
you get brought
quarters.
Up at the improv?
Right. yeah,
Sullivan
yeah.
And
who cares
five
about that?
Five quarters.
Beat you beat
shit.
That game?
Shredder, all those motherfuckers. Dude.
Did you like have a crowd of people around you going, Roy, Roy, Roy?
Well, at the end, motherfuckers want to jump in.
You're like, no.
Shit, I hate it.
Yeah.
So you were solo. Because
there were people cycling in
sure.
and out.
Right.
But what I hated was that when it would get to a boss and two or three guys would die, they would go, yeah, I'm going to let you handle that. And I'm by myself. Motherfucker, put your quarter
this
back in.
This is when I need you.
Yeah.
Now is when I need a fucking teammate. And they leave you hanging. You beat the boss.
Right.
And then they come
they jump
all
back
right,
in.
I'm going to jump back in.
Yeah, I'm going to jump back in, like, take out this Foot Clan. Where were you at Bebop and Rocksteady, asshole?
They go, oh, Mortal Kombat was...
and Rocksteady.
They were in the... Yeah, what was
that's
the game
that's
I
another
played?
Thing I would buy. In addition to the Papa Shot Hoop and the Slurping Machine, I buy two life-size...
Coin ops?
Cutout. Well, no, two life-size cutouts of Bebop and Rocksteady. Maybe statues outside of my place.
Dude, just get them tattooed on your back. Why not?
We'll be right back with more shitty suggestions from Brad Williams.
Fuck you. That's a gold mine.
Yeah, man. The video arcade was cool. But the ice yeah. cream spot ended up being dope because that's where all the chicks came because they always wanted mm-hmm.
They love ice
and
cream.
And it was easy to hook you up because it's ice cream. It's
ice
not
cream.
Really inventoried.
Right.
You can't really regulate
who's to say what a scoop and a half is compared to a scoop?
Yeah.
You're good.
You can't really tell.
How many samples? Did you have a limit? Like if there was a girl come in like, hey, Roy, can I get some of that chocolate chip? And then you hook it up. And
you
then
you can have all the samples you want, but okay. I would tell them, I say, just say you want one scoop. If you come in, like, because I would go around, like, on my break, mm-hmm. I would go over to the stores where the cute chicks work. And this was my hustle.
Oh, there you go.
I would go over to 357, Simply Six, California Fashion Mall.
You sound like failed sitcoms from yeah. ABC Family.
Simply Six.
Simply Six.
Oh,
that does sound like a fucking.
No, that's Jenna Von Oy, Six from Blossom, her spinoff that never
oh,
fucking two
Simply
episodes.
Simply Six.
Dude, I would go over to these stores and see the girl. Hey, yeah, I'm over at Baskin Robbins. If you want some, just make sure you come to me and just ask for one scoop, and I give you two.
Oh my god!
And those heifers' face would light up for real. Because yeah. they're used to dealing with dope boys. They
right.
don't give them shit. And it was really, that's nice. But not realizing they would show up with their fucking man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Their boyfriend yeah. or whatever will come to pick them up when their shift's over.
Yeah.
And they come in with the boyfriend. Yeah, we want one scoop.
Fuck you, like, Daryl.
Fuck you.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. That's when, yeah, yeah.
But
that's
my move was, I'd hollow out the scoop.
Like,
there's a way if you risk
right?
it properly when you're scooping the ice cream.
I love that you have skills with this,
dude. It's real shit.
That would never look at it and go, hey man, I think you left some of that scoop.
Yo, brother, the density of this scoop.
The density of the scoop is not consistent.
Yeah. Like the fucking Colts feeling the footballs. I don't know. It's not full. There ain't no pecan praline in this.
These fucking New England Patriot ice cream scoops. That's what I'm giving out. Yeah, that was my fucking move, man.
Dude, that's incredible.
Yeah, that was hustle. The best job ever, man. The worst one was I telemarketed for a while. Doing home security systems in high school. This is all in high school.
In high school. And this is all pre-comedy, yeah?
Y'all, fuck yeah. I didn't do comedy till junior year of college.
Oh,
like,
shit.
I was working, like, I would work a job for 3-4 months.
Yeah.
Because of my school schedule or transportation or car breakdown, I get fired. And then you're 15, 16. It's easy to get another shitty drone worker BS job.
Yeah, you go to a fast food place, you're working at a barbershop.
I had
whatever.
One. I used to work at a rehab hospital in Birmingham, and I was the food porter who just ran food trays to the floors.
Okay.
And I don't know what you know about Birmingham sports medicine, but it's like one of the...
Well, that's where Dr. James Andrews is.
James Andrews.
Yeah.
So most any athlete
that
gets fucked up gets sent to Birmingham to get repaired. I'd say 60 to 70% of athletes end up in Birmingham at some point for therapy, right?
Yeah.
I worked at the hospital where they would be in recovery after their surgeries. So at any given point, on the floor, they were just like, all right, yeah, there's Troy Aikman on the floor, and Vlade Divac just had a fucking knee, but don't speak to him.
Holy shit.
And at the time, I'm like a fucking huge Hornets fan, and Divac had just gotten traded.
Oh, yeah, man. The trade Kobe. For Kobe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I've been brushing up on my Yugoslavian.
I never had the guts, man, but it was cool because you'd always see some random athlete walking down the hall or some shit, or they'd be in like the fucking water therapy area.
Right.
Like, you're just walking around the hospital with your ID badge in departments that you shouldn't even be.
Of course. It was like having the all-access pass at the Nickelodeon Teen Choice Awards.
Imagine seeing your favorite athlete at their saddest moments, though. Like,
no kidding.
That's the worst make-a-wish ever. Yeah, you can meet Brett Favre, man, but it's...
It's when he's going to rehab for painkillers.
Yeah.
Fuck! I just picture
it's
like
a great show.
I just picture like Vlade Divac wearing one of those hospital gowns and it not being long enough to like cover his ass.
Straight cock flapping.
Nice. Straight cock flapping. And that's what he says. And they go, Vlade, cover up. He goes, I'm straight cock flapping. Leave me alone.
Cocking the flaps.
Cocking the flaps.
Now, my comedy job was Golden Corral. That was the one.
Oh, shit.
2 years there. I technically never quit. I still have the name tag.
For Golden Corral?
Yeah, I never quit. Because in my head, I could end up back there.
Wow.
Like in some weird...
God, such a comic mentality.
Sense of...
You always...
It could all go to shit tomorrow. Hey, dude.
Exactly.
I've still got my Albertsons grocery store bagger shirt at my home in Seattle and my Universal Studios tour guide badge. Same shit, man, where I'm just like...
I still got my Disneyland shirt.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Wow, dude.
It's same thing. It's on the corkboard in my office. It's just... I might have to call Miss Darlene next week for a shift. Hey, it's been 15 years. Can you put me back on the schedule?
Oh, all right, baby.
Come on in. I put you down for a 5 to 9.
Holy shit. Yeah. There's just always that mentality. And that's kind of what keeps you going. It's just, you don't want to get back to that point.
I try to explain to somebody a couple weeks ago, like, people talk about the light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And you have people talking, oh, it's the light at the end of the tunnel. Just keep going. The light in my tunnel is the train coming up behind me to run me over. And that's how that's how my career is. It's like, failure's coming, failure's coming. What's this way? Not the train, run. And I have no idea what I'm doing half the time. I couldn't tell.
But you're just running.
I'm just running. It's just each gig, each project just somehow leads to the next thing. I couldn't have.
Is that why you were out of breath when you got to this podcast?
5 years ago, I couldn't have told you where I was, where my career would be, which is why I'm all like, most of my goals, when people are like, what's the plan? Most of my goals are like 6 to 9 months out at best. Mm-hmm. And I trust that achieving most of those will get me to the next couple of sets of goals.
I think that's super smart and fair, too, and healthy, because you can't, you know, I feel like this business, too, is so, there's so much uncertainty that you can have goals, like, things are so lofty and so out of your control.
Yeah, you can say, like, hey, I want to sell out Madison Square Garden one day. It's a great goal. Fantastic if you can do it, but How do you get there? There's so many little plateaus that you gotta hit along the way.
But then don't you hear about people that do that? And then I can't remember who. I feel like I don't know if it was Dane Cook or Louie or somebody that was like, I told myself one day I'm gonna do it, and then I did it.
It was Dane. Mm-hmm. I read it in an interview.
Yeah,
and that's dope.
Boston Gardner.
And that's dope. But for him, that's his 6 to 9 month goal, and that works for him. But for me, I mitigate failure. I accept failure as an option. I don't want to fail, and I believe if I do these things, then I won't fail. And every year of my career, that's held true. But I don't trust that the math won't change. Mm-hmm. So I just continue to work. Well, what is this going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know. I just feel like writing something, so I'm going to write the script. What are you going to do? These are prank calls. I just want to put them on. Oh, shit, they went viral. Oh, okay, cool. All right, well, let's see how we market that. How do we turn this into ticket sales? And that's how it goes. And sometimes I do shit and it doesn't catch on.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Sometimes that happens, man. I did a web series I did it 2 years ago. Some of them are still up on YouTube. It's called New Faces of Black History. And
I like it already.
It's basically a satirical look at true black history facts.
Okay.
And probably cost me $5,000 to $6,000 to shoot of my own money, out of pocket, no investors.
Yeah.
If you pull it up on YouTube now, I challenge you to find one that has more than 3,000 views. And a lot of that was issue with marketing and editing. And I didn't, it was an administrative fumble of the football that kept that from being what I hoped for it to be. But it's a legitimate attempt at something that fucking didn't work out. I did another web series a couple years ago called the Save a Thug Foundation. It was just about a charity that helps underprivileged thugs get back on their feet after they get out of jail. Mm-hmm. Money out of pocket, shot that. 800 views, maybe. I don't know, somewhere in there, but hired the wrong people to do it, just didn't do my homework the right way. So you learn from the failures and you keep fucking, you know, striving. But
you don't learn unless you're taking those chances either. And everything leads to another thing. And, you know, otherwise, too, if you're just not finding ways to fulfill those, you know, creative everything that's going, like if you're not trying to create, if you're only doing one thing too, by the way, if you're just doing stand-up, I feel like that's just not enough day and age. And it's not,
especially in this marketplace.
It's also not making you a fuller person. Like every, obviously, like, you know, the old cliche about like, you gotta have a life worth writing about, but it's like the whole experience of, you know, producing and doing that whole web series, like, you know, there's probably things, people you met in that you don't even know that are going to benefit from later in life, or that maybe something happened in that like turned into a bit or.
Oh yeah, it's huge. I mean, I got Samuel L. Jackson to retweet me, so that's dope.
I lead with that when you go up on stage.
Yeah,
that's incredible. What happened?
Ninja Turtles on 5 quarters.
This next guy that came to the stage, $1.25 is all it took to take down Bebop and Rocksteady. Samuel L. Jackson.
Fucking Krang.
Wait, what did he retweet?
I did an episode of New Faces of Black History on him, and the fact that he said motherfucker more times than anyone else in the history of film. I didn't get an official count.
That's hilarious.
But it's a true.
But who's going to argue that fact?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he thought it was funny and and it's weird when someone you respect, like that little bit of validation, doesn't matter if anyone else watches this.
Oh, come on, man! Yeah,
the that man he got himself it. Fucking watched it and got it. And
absolutely,
I was like, fucking. It sounds like a stupid thing to be happy about, but I was
Are you kidding me?
Sam Jackson.
That's incredible, man. He's an icon.
Yeah, and there was some study that came out that said Sam Jackson's movies have made more money than any other actor in film history. He's the number one box office actor of all time. If you go down through all the movies that he's been in ever, and do all the box office.
Add up all the grosses.
Well, think about it. It's all the fucking Avengers movies. It's all the Star Wars movies. It's a Jurassic Park.
Like, yeah, he's part of some behemoth.
Yeah. So he's part, like, even if he's not the main guy.
So what about Tom Selleck?
Hey.
He's not on the running. Mr. Baseball made like $200 million worldwide.
He's third.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
But you know what? Like you said, you do something like that and you get that little piece of validation. Yeah. You're like, hey, I'm on Sam Jackson's radar. Now if someone says, hey, Roy Wood Jr. is Sam Jackson, he's going to know who I am.
Fucking LL Cool J wouldn't retweet me.
Well, I mean, he's too busy hosting the Grammys, that motherfucker.
Fucking Uncle L. Got respect for him. You know, he's never died in any film he's ever been in.
What?
Wait, didn't he die in Deep Blue Sea? No?
Nope. Samuel L. Jackson died in Deep Blue Sea.
Mother.
LL is the one at the end that shoots the shark.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be him, died. Man.
Nah, never died. I, now, that one I checked. I literally went through his full filmography.
What else? What about Anaconda? Wasn't he in Anaconda?
And that was Ice Cube. How dare you?
Oh, you were racist.
Hey, all black rappers look alike.
It's wait, okay. I can't tell the difference between all these pale white chicks, Gwyneth Paltrow, fucking Gyllenhaal, and all that. Maggie. Well,
but then he was also in Samuel L. Jackson in SWAT, too, right?
Didn't die.
Didn't die in SWAT.
Fuck shit up in SWAT. The only one that's
any given
on the
Sunday?
Bubble.
He didn't die in that one either.
Nobody died in that
the
one.
He only was an eye.
The only one where you can argue it is in Rollerball. He has a wreck on the bike near the end of the movie, but they never show his body.
Oh, so it's not confirmed.
He's just out of the plot.
It's like Shane. You don't you don't know if he's dead or alive. You don't know.
I don't fucking know.
Holy fuck. See, well, like now
Halloween H2O, he got shot. Didn't die.
A black guy in a horror movie?
Nigga survived Michael Myers, dude.
What the?
LL Cool J's a fucking man, dude.
He doesn't die. Maybe that's like in his contract.
Pull up his IMDb and just go through some of his films.
Okay.
I'm telling you, he didn't die. And we did a full story on it. Like, yeah. I did a full breakdown.
Was this in your black history
thing? Yeah.
That's got to be the hardest thing to do as a black actor is not die in any movie.
Womanati, man.
You're going to need like a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Oscars for that.
First of all, do you know his original name?
Oh,
James Todd Smith.
There it is.
Oh, wow.
You got to know that as a black person. That's like...
do you? Are there certain things like that you got to know?
Where like other black people get mad at you. Like, yeah, you need to know that. You need to have seen...
You just said Black 101. So what would be the three... If you were teaching Black 101,
yeah.
What are five things that like Brad and I would need to... That we'd get reprimanded for not knowing on the test?
You need to have seen The Color Purple.
Sure.
Boys in the Hood.
Sure.
I give you a pass on Purple Rain because it's more of a generational thing.
Okay.
At least one black struggle movie. Your choice. Doesn't matter.
What about seeing the YouTube video of the kids singing Purple Rain? Or Chocolate Rain.
No Chocolate Rain. But I will take Sweet Brown. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Okay, all right.
You know,
so
she had a single?
Get it. Oh, like, didn't someone just, like, remix the video?
No.
It's like she absolutely.
In the studio and
get
sang.
Out.
I paid $1 for it.
I feel like her and Tan Mom should just like do a duet. Tan Mom's like honorary black lady.
Let's see. I think these are movies.
Okay.
Take It. No, it's a short. Grudge Match.
Well,
The Deal.
That one.
Last Holiday.
Didn't die. It's a black positivity movie.
Okay.
Nobody dies in any black movie where somebody's wearing a Christmas sweater. No one's gonna fucking die. It's going to be a good warm plot. Eat some turkey.
Kingdom Come.
Another black positivity.
She does have a single, and it's on your iPhone.
Yeah, I bought
it. It's called You're a Monkey.
Yes. It's a black woman called.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Hey, this might be the
Sweet Georgia. It's called You're a Monkey.
Use a monkey.
Wait, hold that up to the microphone. I think our listeners deserve... to hear a little Use a Monkey.
Oh my god, dude. I don't know if I'm ready for this.
Like, okay, just... I feel like we can only listen to this if a black man is in studio with us.
I can tell by your hair. You got bad boys somewhere.
Use a monkey.
Oh, I like the voice in the back.
You've been climbing coconut trees.
Oh, my God. I'll take things white people can never say for $1,000, Alex. I can tell by your feet you've been climbing a coconut tree.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but it makes me very uncomfortable.
Are you kidding me? Like, I don't usually feel white guilt, but man, it's hitting me hard listening to that song.
I mean, these are moments of black ignorance that you have to be aware of, gentlemen.
Yo, this might be the most underrated LL Cool J credit. In 1994, he played Mr. Thornberry on The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Get the fuck. How do you still have street cred? And that's in the early 90s.
Never comes down. IMDb is forever.
IMDb is forever.
The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Oh yeah, man.
Like, was that one of the episodes with Mr. Tasty? Are you kidding me with that?
It might be. I don't know who that is, but it might be.
Homie.
You brought up something earlier that we got to talk about because I'm a huge fan of prank calls.
Okay.
When did you start doing this?
Radio, 2001. When I graduated from Florida A&M, degree in broadcast, I moved back home to Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And
to do
position opened up.
Okay.
Now, originally, I was doing radio news. Like, I was going to be a Hart newsman. And
did you have a news voice?
News time is 7:44 now, and I'm Roy Wood Jr. in the Hot 105 WVHT News Center, North Florida, South Georgia's number one. Like,
that's legit. Wow. You got a great voice. Yeah,
that was my shit, man. Yeah. And my dad, I mean, I'm from a journalism family. My dad, you know, was 50 years in radio before he died. I got two brothers that's in the shit, too.
Wow.
And so it was easy to come home and try and get a job. So the radio station, the comedian left, right? Like a month before I got to town, I go, hey, I'm a comic, and I also have a degree in this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to do better than me. And they go, we don't give a fuck about your fucking degree.
And by the way, one scoop.
Yeah. They wanted, so I got hired there to do pranks. That's all they wanted me to do. They just go, do pranks, don't do shit else. We don't care what else you do. Just do prank calls, because that was the, you know, on radio it's called a benchmark. It's the one thing you have to deliver every day, and the fans counting on it. And I just did pranks, and after about a month, and this is 5 days a week, you're in the production room at 4:35 in the morning trying to come up with someone to fuck with.
Yeah.
So you can edit it and have it ready by 7:05.
Right.
Oh. And in terms of building improv skills, holy fuck, dude. Like that for 4 years, that was my gig. And after about a month or two, they started letting me kind of comment on stuff on the air. I started making parody songs, fake commercials, and showing a more comedic range.
Yeah.
And so then they were like, all right, you can co-host. And so I moved up from just a prank call guy to intern to producer, co-host, and then eventually hosted the shit.
Are you still doing sets at night while you're doing this?
Dude, I'm doing sets out of town. Like, jeez. I was doing radio. If it was under 5 hours,
yeah,
I used to call it a quick flip. You get in the car, you go do the gig, you go right back home, you sleep at the station 2 to 5 a.m., you get up, you do the morning show, you get back in your car, you drive the fuck back to Louisville or Knoxville or wherever you're at. Because I couldn't afford to lose traction, because at that point, I was 3 years into stand-up. I couldn't lose traction.
Right, you're learning.
What are you going to do, come off the road in the South? Like, 6 months off the road is another year of begging and pleading to get back to where you were 6 months ago.
Yeah,
so I can't miss a gig.
Yeah, if you're doing the radio station, Chucky Ducky's going to take your spot.
Nice hamburger.
Hamburger.
I actually lied to get on the station because they weren't letting anybody else fucking audition because they had already had enough comics and they didn't like anybody. And they're like, fuck it, we'll just go without a comic and we'll figure out another way. So I called the station. The guy, his name is Buck Wild. We're still friends to this day. I called the station. I go, yeah, man, Roy, blah, 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 blah. We're not doing that contest anymore. I go, well, yeah, man, but I'm really funny. You all should come check me out. And he goes, where are you going to be? I go, well, you know, I'll see you Friday. Y'all hosting the D.L. Hughley show, right? He goes, yeah. I go, well, I'm opening up for D.L. Hughley. So, you know, just check me out Friday. Just stay long enough to check me out, even if you don't stay for D.L. We'll see. And he hangs up in my face. So I call the comedy club. Now, at this point, I've been working the comedy at the Stardome for like 2-3 years.
Yeah.
I call up Bruce Ayers.
I go, Bruce. I love Bruce.
I go, Bruce. Hey, buddy. What's going on here? I go, yo, I just got hired at the radio station this week. Oh, congratulations. I go, listen, I know they usually host for D.L. Hughley, but I think they want to try something different. Buck Wild told me to tell you that he's going to go out and just kind of host a show. And then Buck Wild will bring me out, and I'll do 5 minutes, and then I'll bring out, you know, the rest of carry the rest of the show. I'll MC the rest of the show. This is what Buck Wild wants. And Bruce said, all right, no problem. Just do 5 and keep it clean and wear a suit.
Yeah,
that's fine. So Friday night, all I have to do is keep Buck Wild and Bruce away from each other.
Oh, yeah. Right, so they don't talk to each other and get the story straight.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's a damn sitcom moment there.
Buck thinks I'm there on the behalf of the comedy club. The comedy club thinks I'm there on the behalf of the radio station.
Oh, my God.
And D.L. Hughley can't kick me off the show because D.L.'s first thing is, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
And I don't know who the fuck you are.
Right.
because, you know, he's got his crew.
Yeah, sure.
I go, oh, yeah, I'm with the radio station, man. It's just my job to bring you up. I'm going to just do two. They just got me doing 2 minutes of promotions.
And you're doing, yeah, and you tell him 2 minutes.
That sounds official.
I go, yeah. But he's not going to keep track.
No.
Right. Most comics are backstage. Your opener,
right?
He's just milling around.
Mm-hmm.
All he's waiting for to hear is, are you ready for this comic? And you go, ooh!
Yeah,
and he knows that's his fucking 30-second call.
Right.
To be fucking side of the stage. So I go up 5 minutes. I rip as hard as you can in five. It's five
awesome.
Minutes.
Yeah. Right.
There's only so much damage you can do.
Sure.
I come off stage. Buck Wild is standing on the side of the stage. And he goes, see you Monday. And that was it.
Nice.
And that's how I got the job.
Nice.
The fucking shit. Radio station.
Well done.
And so
that's unbelievable.
It's a great hustle.
Monday, I get there and he goes, prank calls. You motherfucker. This is not what I do.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you want to work here? We need prank calls. I don't give a shit what else you do. But every morning, 7:05, I need a prank call. I need it under 3 minutes, and I need it edited for sound. Do you know how to edit? Do you know how to use this audio editing equipment? I go, yes, sir. See you at 7:05. And he closes the production door room, and I just start calling
to work.
Gas stations and shit like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's your go-to? Strip, yeah.
4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, ain't but 4 or 5 different things open.
Right.
So, like, if you listen to a lot of my pranks where I call businesses, it's strip clubs, it's gas stations, it's hospitals, it's hotels. It's
hospitals?
Yeah. Oh,
what?
Dude. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, like the delivery department or something, right?
No. Call the floor and just ask for motherfuckers that aren't there anymore. And then they go, well, he's not on this floor. And I flip out. Oh, shit, my nigga dead. They killed my nigga. Chino! He gone, man! And the ladies on the phone, sir, I don't understand.
We need to transfer you to a grief counselor.
Of course, they transfer you so quickly, right?
Oh, absolutely. They send you down to like the
Hand
central processing and stuff.
God.
This one on YouTube, people can download or just listen to. It's a Rick Ross, like 4 years ago, he had heart trouble or some shit midair.
Yeah.
And the plane emergency landed in Birmingham.
Right.
And they kept him in Birmingham for 2 days for observation.
Mm-hmm.
I prank called the hospital trying to get his room.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm asking for him under all of his fucking rap nicknames. So I'm like, I call and I go, yeah, I need Ricky Rose's room. She goes, who? Rose, last name Rose, first name Ricky.
Yeah.
Rawls. It's just, I go through like 10, 15
he
names.
He responds to the boss.
Yeah, dude, yeah. I said that. Like, it was, and literally, ladies on the line, you can hear her clacking the keyboard. I said, I don't know.
There's no one by the name of the boss here.
There's no Rose.
Could you not do the call the day before? Did you have to do it like by 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning?
I could, if it was something that a listener requested or something like that, I would just have to stay behind at the station, but that was hard because more often than not, at night, I was gone.
Wow.
So most pranks were done within 30 minutes of them airing.
Holy
shit.
Which
is fucking insane.
Yes.
When you think about just editing it for time, and it's got to be funny. And,
oh, yeah.
Right.
Which is why I feel like now, like, I've tried to do prank calls since then, and in my opinion, they're not as funny. Like, the pranks that I do now, you know, I'm going to do one last album this year, but nothing that I do will ever be as good as that. Like, those first...
Because you don't have that pressure on you to, like, be to make it something.
That first album I did in 03, my mama made me wear this. Like, that prank album, man, that's my fucking blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that... Because it was the pressure. Like, I got to get a rise out this lady, so I have to say something ridiculous and stuff that
right.
I wouldn't dare say now.
Right.
I would fire off that shit and then topping, you know, your daughter's ugly and her daughter. It's an ugly gene going through your family.
Because you're desperate at that point.
I wouldn't even molest her. Like, I would never say that now.
No.
But I've said shit like that
to
people because I need, it's 6:45, bitch, and if you don't say something funny by 7 o'clock, I need 5 minutes to edit. And back in these days, you still had to burn it to a CD and carry it over to the...
Run over. Yeah. You can't.
That's not a quick turnaround.
Yeah, you can't just put in digital. And I don't know if you know this, I'm coming from the world of morning radio. I just had a morning radio show up in San Francisco.
Nice.
And so, like, but now we try to do these... We would try to do some prank calls, and we had this legal department that would tell us, you have to tell people before you start the prank call that this is for the radio. I'm like, then what's the fucking point of the prank call?
They say that.
Yeah, they don't check.
If you get verbal releases on the back end, you're good. It's just a matter of having a lawyer that's willing to stand tall. Otherwise, you have to do them out of Nevada. I think Jersey has a law where you don't have to tell the party beforehand.
Right, but right, right.
If that was the case and you have to tell somebody before, then you fucking...
You can't do a prank call.
It's such a stupid fucking thing.
Yeah, it's insane.
I used to prank call as a kid. I used to call the Seattle. I grew up in Seattle. The sports radio stations after like game, after Mariners games, Sonics games. God. As a kid, I would sometimes get on 4 or 5 times in a night, changing my voice at like 10, 11 years old. I'd call up and be like, "Hey, I just had a couple quick trade suggestions. I think Jay Buhner's playing really well, but I really think maybe we should trade him for like because the hot dogs at the Mariners games are really they're really not that great. Maybe we should trade him for like better hot dogs." And the guy's like, "What the fuck are you talking about, man?" And hang up with me and I come back. I'm like, "Yeah, we just been a long time listener, big Mariners fan, Ken Griffey Jr., man. So I got a great idea for a trade. We trade Ken Griffey Jr. for a couple PlayStations and just like crazy.
Click.
You know, click." And sometimes these guys were like, really like, you know, want to hear out more. They're like, "Are you actually a fan?" And then they'd ask me all these questions. And I'd always try to give like a little bit of insight sometimes, not right off the bat. But yeah, like they
that's smart.
But you know, I'm sure you figure that out too. It's like you can't be too ridiculous too quickly.
It's tougher now because of just caller ID and the laws. And you know, when I started in 2001, I would buy Walgreens phone cards, and those concealed your number. And
then
phone cards changed over to showing the number that you're calling. Even though you're using a phone card, it still shows the actual number. So if you had caller ID, it still said Cox Radio. So,
you know,
it's a radio station fucking with you. So then I had to become doubly slick and get a Skype number. But then if I get Skype, then you've got certain stuff blocked on your phone where I can't call you from some VPN number. So it's just, it's a constant cat and mouse. And I finally figured out a pretty good system that works with Google Voice to prank phone call people and record it into the computer. So that's what I've been doing lately. But
jeez,
it's a young man's game.
Did you ever have anything go down like serious, like while you were prank calling someone?
There's probably two where I legitimately probably would have gotten a station sued and me fired. One of them, I almost got my ass beat.
What happened?
I prank called a guy in Cleveland. At this point. So I'm taking the pranks that we're doing on the air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the time, we had an asshole of an IT guy at the station who wouldn't put the pranks on the fucking radio station website. If you missed this morning's prank, go to 957jams.com. "Well, you know, I don't know how we're going to put that up there because, you know, this page already enough stuff and you got to put it on the morning show page."
That's your job, asshole.
"Email it to me and I can post it by Thursday, motherfucker."
Jesus.
Yeah. The prank aired this morning.
Right.
Motherfucker want to hear it at their desk. And, you know, and at the time, that was kind of that whole concept of, I didn't know it at the time, but kind of, in a way, podcasting.
Yeah.
"Did you miss this morning show? Here's a clip, motherfucker."
Oh, yeah, right.
"Well, I'll put up Monday's clip on Thursday because I can't get to it yet." And that's why I built my website. That was the first reason I built fucking RoyBajr.com, was to post pranks from the morning show.
That day.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, if you missed this morning's prank, it's on the website.
Dude, that was a brilliant idea.
Next year, YouTube hits. People start taking my pranks and attaching them in email. This is back when going viral was over email. You didn't even fucking get video links and Vine and all that shit. And people were taking my pranks and putting them to videos and posting them on YouTube. And the shit was going crazy. So I'm getting emails from all over the country of people, "Prank call my aunt." So at this point, I'm a Birmingham radio show, but I'm prank calling some motherfucker in Cleveland. The listener don't give a fuck.
Right.
They just want to hear somebody cuss.
Sure.
So I called this dude in Cleveland, and his kid had gotten expelled from one school for jacking off in class. That's true. That's backstory.
That's not even the prank.
No.
Okay.
Brad and this kid got a lot in common. You know. Hey.
First grade, just straight meat beating, just straight getting it.
First grade.
I don't even think I even started playing with my dick to maybe like second grade. Like, this dude's a champ.
Yeah.
Like,
first grade, you said?
He's excelling. He's like a LeBron masturbation. It's fucking kid.
He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
This kid needed only one quarter to beat Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
So he fucking, I call this guy and I accuse his kid of teaching my kid how to jack off.
Awesome.
Teach him overhand, wow. Teach him underhand. Motherfucker's horrible.
Was he Pete Sampras?
Yeah. So the guy, so then I threatened to meet the guy, which is what I shouldn't have done. And I have like certain prank call bylaws that I follow.
Right.
And in the heat of the moment, I broke one of the bylaws, which is you don't offer to meet the person. You can say, oh, I'm going to do all this shit to you, whatever. Right. But you don't go, come meet me. And he goes, where you at? And I said, I'm at the school right now. He hangs up. I call him back for 20 minutes straight. He doesn't answer.
Right.
So I call his wife who set the prank up. And I go, hey, can you call him? He's not answering from my phone. Blah, 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 blah. She calls him. Turns out he was at the school. He had just gotten to the school by the time she got him on the phone. And he was getting ready. Because I told him, I'm in the office. Come look for me, motherfucker. I'm right here in the office.
Yeah.
This dude's finna walk into a school and beat the shit out of a complete stranger.
Yeah, some dude's like, hey, you're holding a phone.
But I insulted his kid,
right.
Which is fine. That's part of how I get you riled up. But
sure.
I shouldn't have told you where I was.
Right.
Because then you have motivation to go leave the house. If you'd have so much as had a wreck on the way, I'm liable.
Yeah, you're done.
If he goes in, his kid gets expelled, I'm liable.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
That's,
if he punches some guy in the office,
yeah,
and he
all of that
you,
recording
all that.
Law, that shit goes out the window. You're still fucking with somebody. And if they get riled up and hurt themselves because you fucked with them, you're screwed.
You're liable.
Man.
Yeah.
So I say all that to say, 8 months later, Cleveland Improv in the flats.
Oh, boy.
I do the show, and there's a guy two rows back, stage left, stone face, whole show, not a fucking word. And I'm not a crowd work guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really give a fuck why you're not laughing. Just leave. If I'm not funny to you, just leave. I don't like these comedians who get all sensitive and, motherfucker, why you ain't laughing, motherfucker? These jokes good. Maybe they're not.
Maybe they're not.
Maybe my jokes aren't good to you.
Sometimes
maybe you're not my cup of tea. I've seen shit that didn't entertain me, and I left. Or I just sat quietly. I'm not to be berated, so I don't bother to do
that. Then if you're making 98% of the rest of the audience laugh, who gives a fuck?
Fucking I'm cool with that.
Exactly.
I look at him as just a visual YouTube thumbs down. Like,
you see the thumb over his head. Like,
you just see a YouTube thumbs down. Like, you're the guy that clicks thumbs down on all my shit.
Yeah, fuck you.
At the merch table, he comes up, shakes my hand, tight grip, pulls me close, and he goes, I just want to let you know, if I wanted to touch you, I could touch you. Don't you ever fucking call me again. And he just walks off. And as he's walking off, I go, the school, right? He goes, I walked off. This motherfucker waited 8 months. Bought a ticket. Two drink minimum. Sat through
the entire show.
An hour and a half comedy show.
Yeah.
To deliver that threat.
Like, wow. Just letting you know.
No, man.
If I can touch you, I can touch you.
My body went fucking cold,
I was
dude.
Gonna say, like, yeah.
Touch you. I could touch it. And I got a grin on my face. What did you tell
about?
What
are you talking about?
He goes, if you ever...
What are you quoting, some LL Cool J movie?
Don't you ever call me no motherfucking more.
Holy shit.
And I went,
this guy.
The score. They just had to double check, right?
Yeah.
It was like that scene in Blow where Johnny Depp knows he's getting arrested at the end.
I love that
where
movie.
As soon as he's agreed to buy the coke and he knows it's a cop, and he just puts his hand down and his head just goes, oh, fuck.
Because you're arresting me, aren't you? Well.
So that was a prank. That was a close call. And, you know, there's a couple others where, you know, chicks wanted to, you know, show up and try to fucking beat my ass at the radio station. But that's just because they were embarrassed.
Yeah, of course.
Chicks don't like to be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. And for the most part, you come out with fucking concert tickets and a free prank CD in your hand.
Yeah,
sure.
And all is
it's
well.
Smooth over, yeah.
Yeah, give a girl free tickets, all is right in her world.
Take it back, eat that pussy.
Would you,
So, I mean, that's one way to smooth it all over.
Take him out and take him to the sales department. Take him to the cubicle.
I feel like that's what the owner of the arcade told you to do after you beat Ninja Turtles. Hey, Roy Wood, take these girls in the back. Eat their pussies, man.
I'm like, you got it, son.
You deserve it. Yeah. rip it up like you just ripped up Shredder.
Oh, they love the way you handled Baxter Stockman.
Baxter Stockman.
How about that pull?
That's incredible.
How about that one?
So there's this Thai restaurant that I order from, right? And I've prank called
Kanara?
In, no, it's Tid Lim on Melrose.
All right.
We've had people. We usually have do it from people. Ari Spears did it as DMX. Our boy Jonathan Kite from Two Broke Girls did it as Jeff Bridges. Mm-hmm. We prank call this Thai restaurant. I order from it all the time, so their business is fine, but they never pick up on it. And it's, would you be down to do it right now?
Yeah.
All right, fuck.
All right, cool.
Hang on, let me think of something.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to just call and spew shit.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah,
it's all right. We can.
I'm trying to think of, like, can we fuck with them on like an address? Like, yeah, you delivered to the wrong address.
Yeah.
They deliver, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you can get mad.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, we don't have a lot of fancy equipment, so you literally have to hold the phone up to the microphone.
We've done that before. All right.
Yeah.
Why do you fuck with this place? Because you love them?
Because they're hilarious. Because I give them enough business, and they're fucking. We did it once, and they
killed it.
Oh, they're open. They're always open.
No answering machine. Hello, hello. Yes, ma'am. Good evening. Hello.
Hello, yes?
Yes, ma'am. Hello. What is your name?
Can I help you?
Yes, ma'am. I am Dr. Sitman Azibo. I am from the Nigeria. And I would like to know, you leave some stuff out of my order. I want to know where the rest of my food is. Because you will not steal from me. You bring the delivery, and the delivery, everything is not here, ma'am. But I'm very angry. I come for takeout, and you take the order.
Okay, you want to pick up order, right?
What the fuck? Ma'am, I already come and get the food, and someone took a bite out of my egg roll. Someone already ate my egg roll.
You want the order, your egg roll?
Ma'am. I already have egg roll, but you eat my egg roll. Why do you eat my egg roll, ma'am? It is because I am black, ma'am. May I speak manager, please, ma'am? I would like to speak manager, please. Hello.
Hello.
Ah, yes, sir. Hello.
Hi.
How are you, sir? Yes, praise Jesus. This is Dr. Sitman Azibo. I come in there earlier tonight, sir. I come in, I get the order to go. Do you follow? Do you understand?
I don't understand. What is it? Did you come?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I come earlier. I come and get the food, and you bite out of my egg roll. Someone bit my egg roll, and I want to know who the fuck bite the egg roll that I ordered. Why would your cook, why you do that?
What? I don't understand what's wrong with the egg roll.
Someone bite it. You bite my egg roll, then put it in box.
I bite your egg roll?
Yes, sir. Yes.
No. Nobody touching your egg roll. I don't know. It's a big up order.
Do not raise voice egg at roll? Me. You do not raise voice at me. Do not yell at me, sir.
No. I'm talking to my people. I didn't raise a voice.
Ask
them. I'm just surprised.
Ask them, please. Ask everyone right now if they bite my egg roll, because I have an egg roll over here that is bitter. Someone bite it.
What did you order? What else did you order?
I order a lot of stuff. There's a party, sir. We're having a party, and we order noodle.
What did you order? Tell me, what did you order?
Why do you yell at me, sir? I'm a nice sir, man. I'm black, sir. You're a racist. You yell at a black man.
What? I asked you, what else did you order? I didn't tell you anything else.
Why are you racist?
I just want to know, what did you order? What else did you order? That's all. I don't know which order you're talking about. You know, I had to find out.
It does not. The order, no matter. You ask the cook if he bite an egg roll.
Hey, because
he might
eat dog, you know. What else did you order?
He might bite all the egg rolls.
Order the egg roll sir. Only? Just one item?
Sir.
So what
sir,
you order?
Sir, Lisa. He bite all the egg rolls. He might be biting all of the egg rolls, and he is a criminal. And we must bring him down. Do you understand, sir?
I don't care what you're talking about, okay? I argue, what else did you order? Did you just talk about somebody bite your egg roll? Nobody touch your egg roll, okay?
Yes, sir. You do not know who
touched. What you want, okay?
You don't know.
What you want, but I don't want to argue with you. You just don't understand what I'm asking you. I ask you, what else did you order besides the egg roll? That's all. That's my question. And you're just talking about something else.
I'd like to speak to the cook, please.
What's the egg plan to you?
I'd like to speak to the cook, please. I would not like to talk to you anymore. Hello?
Holy shit, dude.
Well done.
He got angry.
Dude, Roy Wood Jr.
Dude, you're incredible, man.
The first rule of pranks is never get them what they never give them what they ask for.
Okay.
Like, just, so he just wants your order.
Oh, my God.
Don't give him that.
So don't just say something to appease him. Don't just say, oh, I had the pad thai noodle.
I have something that's more important.
Right.
Then my issue is more important than your issue,
uh-huh.
And then that just starts a tug of war. It's like you could use the same strategy in arguing with your girl. If you just wanted to get your chick mad, don't answer her question. Just straight up, don't answer her question. It's the quickest way to start an argument.
Don't ask a question.
Yeah, don't answer it.
No. So
where were you? You look so good.
I said, where were you? Yeah.
I mean, you know, that doesn't matter. I'm here. I'm with you now.
Yeah, I'm here. What does that even mean? I know you're here, but where were you earlier?
No, that don't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters right now is what's going on between
us. What's going on between us is where were you earlier?
And yeah, it just fucking escalates.
Wow, dude, that was unbelievable.
Fuck, I should have wired that. That was a keeper.
Hey, it's on here. I'll cut the peach for you, man.
Yeah,
that is
Aries wanted the same thing, dude. He did DMX for like 8 minutes with the dude. He goes, I want the, I can't say anybody. He goes, I want the Pearl Harbor special. And he goes, and I want the, and the guy's like, what? The Pearl Harbor what? The Pearl Harbor special. And some, he goes, what to drink? He goes, I want some. He goes, black. I want some grape juice. Yeah. He goes, I want some of that, you know, some of that black person drink. Give me some of that purple drink. You know, oh, dude.
Oh, shit.
It was so great. Well,
and he's like, yeah, cat. You got fried cat.
I didn't buy the egg roll.
I've met, dude, it all the time. And then my buddies, Jeff Bridges, were like, hey, man, I'm trying to look on your website, man. And, but dude, that was unbelievable. I've never heard him get angry.
Yeah.
And then, dude, and that's always. I love that you ask for the manager because it usually he picks up. Mm-hmm. So, and he's the best. The woman is always like,
yeah, she's taking the orders.
Well, no, she also didn't know what was going on,
right?
And then
his English is better.
Nobody
than hers.
Bite your egg roll, and then you like go and ask the cook. I think someone's back there biting all the egg rolls. We got to take down this criminal.
Yeah, but like in all truthfulness, the fuck matter which egg roll he bit,
right?
Motherfuckers back to buy Negros.
And he wouldn't know what you ordered because he, you know, maybe that's how he was going to track down your name. I don't know.
Yeah,
it still doesn't matter. Right. The problem is internal.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's not me.
No.
I love that you've broken this down like fucking Vince Lombardi with game tape. We get a seal here and a seal here and a prank call.
So that was amazing.
Once you figure out the stuff that pushes people,
mm-hmm.
like you figure out what's important to someone and you insult it. Or you claim to do it better than them.
Yeah.
I've had guys pull guns out in the middle of pranks. There's a prank.
What, like, so you're calling them on the phone?
Yeah.
And they're pulling guns out?
On the front porch with a gun, according to their wife.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Bad breaks. Google that one if you get a chance on YouTube.
Yeah.
And all your pranks are on...
yeah, most of them.
You have an album out of them,
Roy Wood,
right?
I have four.
Hey, four albums.
Three okay. Pranks, one stand-up.
Oh, dude, that's amazing.
I called a guy, he runs a brake shop. Yeah, I'm looking at this work you did on this lady car. It's bullshit. You ain't got you ain't doing no real work. I'm going to tell him to come over there and take your certification. Argument ensues.
Yeah, done. Cause you're,
that's it.
You're taking that guy's livelihood.
Yeah, I insulted your craftsmanship.
Done.
I insult what you're proud of or your kids or...
Right. Well done with the accent, too.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, it's horrible. It's a horrible... Nigerian people hate it. awful accent.
Well, because they know, but that...
Well, white people who can't do Nigerian love it.
Exactly. Like us.
Godfrey heard that, he'd be infuriated.
Godfrey. Yeah, because his dad's Nigerian. Yeah,
exactly. And Godfrey does like a legit Nigerian accent.
He's
on stage.
Good.
He fucking crushes
Roy Wood Jr. on Twitter.
Yes, sir. At Roy Wood Jr. Same thing on... It's RoywoodJr.com or at...
You got all your tour dates on there. Dude, YouTube, Roy, your Conan appearances, Letterman, are so good, dude. You're so good.
Thank you
have to come back because I want to talk about the preparation and all that shit for the late night stuff because all those shows are so, you know, there's a different flavors. Different
and you've
audience.
Done them all. Seth it's Meyers, Conan, weird. Letterman, Ferguson, you've done them all.
Did them all except for Leno, Fallon.
Well, I'll give you a chance yet right now. My next guest coming up is a very funny black comedian. Can't do a very good Nigerian accent,
Jimmy
but
Kimmel.
Used to work at Baskin Robbins and beat Ninja Turtles on $1.25.
I'll show you the way when I buy that coin out for my house.
Dude, I'm not even joking about that.
That's going to happen.
Dude, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
That was amazing.
This was fun, man.
Yeah, it was a blast, dude. That's you're good so good at these.
Bobby Corral, I love you. Mr. If you're listening to this right now.
Thanks, Roy. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or AboutLastNightPodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.